Yo, today is November 24th, 2022. Welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. Happy Thanksgiving. Look, I got my Thanksgiving hat and everything. Can't stay on my head, so I'm not going to wear it, but you guys know the deal. Happy Thanksgiving. We are happy to have you. We are your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. We cover breaking news, culture, memetic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. And that's exactly where we're living through this right now. It's a very historical period, right? The last time something this happened in society was, you could have made the argument, the separation of church and state, right? It's very exciting times. Anyways, today we're going to talk about Cathie Wood. She's the CEO and she owns about 50% of ARK Investments. It's an ETF that is currently listed on the NASDAQ. And she made a prediction for $1 million Bitcoin by 2030. We're going to talk about what her incentives are for saying something like that. And we bring the receipts. You guys know the deal. Also, the mainstream media, or better said, the legacy mainstream media, not really mainstream anymore. Joe Rogan is the most popular broadcaster on the face of the planet, and he's definitely not part of the whole cabal. Basically, is protecting the fraud, the scammer, the Ponzi artist, Sam Bankman-Fried. And of course, we're going to also go through some receipts in regards to Elizabeth Warren using this opportunity to continue her onslaught and her attack on the Bitcoin and crypto industry. So we're going to get into all the details, all the articles, all this good stuff. It's going to be a good show after all. And this is the Thanksgiving special. So very excited for that as well. Hopefully Opti has some Thanksgiving memes. Speaking of Opti, hey bro, how you doing?
Well, good morning, Nico. It's good to be here. What's up, everyone? Happy to be here. Happy Thanksgiving. You know, Let me check. Apparently, oh, sorry, Nico. My mic wasn't connected. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone! We are back. I fixed it for you guys. Yes, we're here, man. I'm excited to hear your new segment. But also, this is Thanksgiving, so on the culture, we're just going to give some thanks today. Oh. We're gonna shoot it off the hip, and we're going to give some thanks to the reason why we're all here. So, you know, stay a little uplifting and just be grateful today. So,
wow, I like that. That's so wholesome. We're wholesome. We're always wholesome on Simply. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
That's right, guys. At this point, stop trusting other people. Stop trusting other people with their copies of the blockchain. Stop doxing your pub files, right? Because if you don't run your own Bitcoin node, you have to how else are you going to check the balances? You have to ask somebody else what the balances are. And if you don't have your own copy of the Bitcoin blockchain, you're doxing yourself. So take back your financial sovereignty, your privacy back into your own hands. Run your own node. If you don't know how to build one, get yourself a Noddle. Anyways, the Bitcoin price is 16,604 sats per dollar. We're at 6,022. Block height, we're at 764,556. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, we're at 15,414. Blocks of the halving, 75,444. Halving estimate, we're at April 23rd, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, we're at 5,064. Bitcoin capacity value, we're at $84 million US dollars. Realized monetary inflation, we're at 1.77%. And the market capitalization, the market cap, we're at $319 billion with the B. Bitcoin in the grand scheme of things is still a baby. Anyways, I saw the legendary GG, awesome Bitcoiner, post this on Twitter, and it's basically a news clip from Canadian broadcasting service, and they were mentioning, you know, the last gasp by the nation state to hold on to the privilege and the monopoly on creating money for free that everyone has to work for, and that last gasp are central bank digital currencies, right? So, and we have to stay on top of it because that is the final boss. So you have to be aware. Anyways, let's check out this clip and then we'll talk about it.
Imagine a digital loonie becoming legal tender. Well, that day is getting closer. A recent survey found most major banks are considering some form of digital currency within the next 6 years. Three research teams have produced proposals for the Bank of Canada. As Eric Sorensen reports, this could fuel the digital economy.
Every day, more Canadians pay digitally. And fewer businesses need this. A cash drawer stuffed with bills. Canadians are among the most cash-free spenders in the world. So, is it time for digital currency? The Bank of Canada isn't promoting the idea, but believes it needs to be ready.
Currency is a core part of the Bank of Canada's mandate. For several years, the Bank of Canada has been analyzing what circumstances might lead Canada to decide to issue a digital currency.
The Bank of Canada is now studying proposals from three sets of university experts for a homegrown digital currency. Formulas for how to spend with the anonymity of cash without using cash. It could work like this. Through an app on a cell phone, a user sets up a secure e-wallet. It's authenticated through a government agency, and it's ready to go. The merchant establishes a digital transaction to accept the funds. But a critical new step in between, what the U of T and York team calls a whitelist, where the transaction is not only authenticated, but will ensure customer information is not passed on, just the money. Privacy is paramount.
We believe that the Canadian government has an obligation to give people a way to protect their privacy and give them, in particular, because payments are so central for commercial interactions.
The currency would require measures against too much privacy to prevent money laundering and tax evasion. And while cash payments are becoming a smaller part of the economy, the central bank says it wouldn't abandon communities not connected to high-tech commerce.
Okay. A lot to unpack there. A lot of bullshit. And again, once again, the coverage, right, it never talks about the downsides. It never talks about, you know, the ungodlike power. No, better said, the godlike power that is going to give governments. And the framing, guys, this framing is very important in media, right? Because framing is perception. Perception is reality, right? And you see how they're trying to push this, right? Canadians don't use cash. And in fact, it's moving to a cash-free society, right? And you mentioned it's like this is going to be authenticated by the government. The government is going to have a whitelist. What about the blacklist? And of course, they said privacy is very important because it's the only way they're going to be able to sell that to the public. But what they never mention is, and no, actually, they did mention this. Privacy is good, but not too much privacy. Privacy is good, but not too much privacy. So what I believe this is it's a solution searching for a problem. They know that if they don't get on top of this, they will be disintermediated. And what you're watching is you're watching the intermediaries basically make their case to exist in the first place. But now when we have something like Bitcoin, all of that infrastructure that they were describing, like how the government had to authenticate this, how the government had to authenticate that, Bitcoin solves all of those problems. It's literally directly peer-to-peer. The problem is that it disintermediates them. And if it disintermediates them, remember that the government's ability, having that privilege to create money for free that everyone else has to work for, gives them a tremendous amount of power. And more importantly, it allows them to pay for themselves through deficit spending, through inflation, right? So it's just you're seeing them. It's like, we need to exist. We're good. We're going to give you privacy. We're going to give you that. And of course, they never mention the reason as to why most people, specifically in developing countries, which is most of the world, are opting out of government currencies in the first place, which is currency debasement, right? They don't mention that. It's not mentioned. Of course, they will never mention that part, right? Because that, you know, that highlights the scheme, that highlights the scam, right? So yeah, man, it's just more BS from the propaganda legacy media. I'm just glad that the internet not only is disintermediating money, but it's also disintermediating information. And we're actually going to talk about the importance of that more during the news segment, right? Because guys, two things are going on and they're equally as important, right? The fact that I could have this microphone, I could have this camera, and I could broadcast to all you guys on Twitter, on Rumble, on Bitcoin TV, on YouTube, right? And I don't have to go through anybody. There was only an elite few of institutions that had that infrastructure, had that ability, no less than a couple decades ago, right? So this is like a new circumstance. This is a new era that we're living through where you're seeing the rise of citizen journalism. And the thing is, the citizen journalism, because they're not bought and paid for, happen to be a lot of the time more accurate than the institutions that we're supposed to trust ourselves, right? So very scary what you're seeing the powers that be and their propaganda media push onto the general populace, and they don't talk about any of the downsides. It falls onto us. It falls down to individuals to educate people, educate your neighbor, educate individuals around them to the benefits of Bitcoin. Not only are transactions easier and faster peer-to-peer, but also talk about the most important, and I think the best selling point, is that, listen, if you earn and save in Bitcoin, right, you're not at risk of currency debasement. It's not going to steal from you. And I think that's the biggest selling point. And I think that's going to be the hardest thing for them to defend, which is why they don't ever mention it. Whether that's the Future of Money report released by the U.S. Treasury, whether that's the United Nations report basically making a plea that developing countries should not be adopting cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin because it's a threat to, you know, it's a threat to them, basically. They never mentioned inflation. When the IMF said, Argentina, you know, we'll give you this bailout as long as you, you know, stop the adoption of Bitcoin and shitcoins in your country. But they never mentioned why people are adopting Bitcoin and shitcoins in their country. And that is because people are tired of being stolen from through inflation, through monetary debasement. Right. So we must literally keep pressing on that point because they're avoiding it because they know they can't defend it in the first place. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, love what you just said. I will echo everything you said 100%. But did you guys catch at the beginning of that clip? What she said, the digital loony. I'm sure that she's talking about like the dollar, but you know, like the simulation is working overtime because that shit is Looney Tunes. Forgive my French, but the digital loony, like lol, amazing. And what are they saying? Digital payments authenticated by the government, a government wallet, pushing for the cashless society. Like big yikes. Like what kind of dystopian hellhole is this that they're pushing for? And they're trying to brand this as this is you know, good for the population out there. This is, it's amazing that this is where we are in this part of the movie, that they could try to spin this in such a way where, you know, they track and bag everyone in a financial system that they control and that they can stop you from transacting with whoever they want, you know, at the literal push of a button. As Nico always says, it's Bitcoin or slavery, and they're saying the quiet parts out loud now. And, you know, like, it's not even us with tinfoil hats on anymore. It's in their own propaganda that they're saying what we've been saying for forever. And it's back to the idea of what we say here all the time, or what I say here all the time in the show. It's like Bitcoin has forced the narrative. And I really love how you said in your Nico Jones rant that, like, if they don't get on top of this, then they will lose. If they don't get on top of this narrative and try to spin this in such a way where they try to brand, you know, their freaking dystopian payment system as something that is good for society, then if anyone with critical thinking left, I know that's something hard for the people out there. If you compare the two systems, this government transaction system versus Bitcoin, I think anyone with a mind still left will understand that Bitcoin is the better system. And if you can compare them fairly, I think everyone will choose the best system, which is Bitcoin. And it's just amazing that they are framing this in such a way. And like you said, they never talk about the fundamental problem, mm-hmm.
which is the fact that they are stealing from you with the money.
Yes.
It's all about payments. It's all about being faster, quicker settlement, but it's never about debasement.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's never, it's like, that's the signal there, right? Is that all the reports, all the things, they avoid that like the plague. They never bring it up in the first place. It's like as if it's a law that your money must be debased, right? Like it's crazy. It's insane. And I think that's a weak point that is definitely worthwhile exploiting and definitely exposing, right? And I think if we expose it to more and more people, I think I definitely think it's going to help us in the long run. Anyways, let's get to the news. A lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to unpack.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by BitBox 2 Bitcoin Only Edition, a hardware wallet by Shift Crypto. Crypto-like cryptography. It's secure, it's open source, and it's so easy your mom can set it up. Self-custody is the revolution, and the BitBox makes it simple. Do not leave your Bitcoin on an exchange. Order a BitBox today.
All right, speaking of BitBox, guys, this is a Black Friday sale from Tuesday, November 22nd. It started 2 days ago to Monday, 28th, November 2022, right? This is this Monday. There's a huge deal. Anything off the store, 10% off, and they have a Black Friday bundle, which is one BitBox, one steel wallet, three backup cards, five tamper evident bags for a total price of around $190 to $195. That's a 21% discount. Absolutely massive. So take back your financial sovereignty back into your own hands. Take self-custody. BitBox is a great solution. All right. That being said, let's get to the news. So this is Kathy Woods. Kathy Woods is the CEO, the owner of ARK Invest. ARK Invest is a, from my understanding, it was traded on the NASDAQ, but here it's just privately held. Interesting. Anyways, so they control an ETF. ETF got absolutely destroyed. Here it is, second sentence of the Wikipedia article. It says, as of February 2021, the company had $50 billion in assets under management. By May 2022, assets had dropped to $15.9 billion after a period of poor performance, right? And guys, you know how much we are big believers in incentives on Simply Bitcoin. If you want to know what someone wants, just try to find out what their incentives are. So kind of makes sense why Kathy would say something like this. And if you take a look at ARK Innovation ETF, right, I don't know about you, man, but this looks like it traded like a shitcoin, my bro. Ran up, you know, with the bull market. It went up from 37. The stock price went from $37 each. It went up, it hit a peak of 156, and it's back down to $36, right back where it started. So, you know, guys, she's incentivized to go on, you know, on Bloomberg and say something like this. Memes are a very great way of affecting this. And, you know, some pleb said it perfectly. It's the hopium meme with the NPC guy, you know, breathing with the hopium mask on. Right. So it's absolutely true. But anyways, let's play the video. Let's check out what she says. And then Opti and I will talk about it. Let's check it out.
I mean, Kathy, that you're going to hold to your Bitcoin forecast for, what is it, a million per coin by 2030, that still feels good to you.
Yes, and you can, you know, sometimes you need to battle test, you need to go through crises to see who the real, to see the survivors, first of all, but really to battle test the infrastructure and the thesis. And again, we think Bitcoin is coming out of this smelling like a rose because of what I have mentioned previously. And I do think, though, the one thing that will be delayed is Perhaps institutions stepping back and just saying, okay, do we really understand this? And once they actually do the homework and see what's happened here, I think they might be more comfortable moving into Bitcoin and perhaps Ether as a first stop.
As a first stop? Oh, Jesus Christ. So yeah, and try to compare this with all the Hopium channels I'm sure there are on YouTube. Oh my God, Kathy Wood, $1 million Bitcoin. Look, guys, the reality is that her stock has been absolutely crushed. Perhaps because she dabbled in shitcoins. And yeah, I personally, I don't know if I agree with that $1 million mark in 2030. That's a crazy move from right now. Maybe we see it a couple years later.
Bearish. You know,
maybe 2033, 20. It's going to get there eventually, inevitably. I think Bitcoin is literally designed to be worth, you know, literally millions of dollars per coin. But I'm not a fan of the price predictions, dude, because it sets up expectations. Everybody gets let down. And what you should really be having is a long time preference, right? You should be focusing on stacking sats, growing your stack, and you should be looking at Bitcoin for what it is. Bitcoin is a savings vehicle. It's a savings technology, right? So even if it gets to $1 million per coin, are you just going to go sell? It's like, oh, it's a million. Let me just... No, dude. Bitcoin is the end stop, right? Bitcoin is what you should be saving in, what you should be, you know, valuing your wealth in, right? It should be Bitcoin in the first place. So I think, to be honest with you, Opti, based on her incentives, based on the performance of her ETF, you know, absolutely getting crushed. And that last part that left a terrible taste in my mouth. Bitcoin, Ethereum, and that's just the start. So it's just going into the shitcoin casino after the fact. I think that's fuck. If I had a noise button here, I think I have a noise button on my dashboard. Here it is. Maybe it's this one. Maybe this is the noise sound.
Huddle to that feeling.
I don't know, but yeah, I think that's noise. I think it's inevitable. Bitcoin gets to $1 million, 21 million divided by infinity. I don't know if it's going to reach to 2030. I think it's irrelevant. I'm just staying humble, stacking sats, saving, earning, mining Bitcoin. I'm going to keep doing that, man. And I think, like, you know, things like this, like from Kathy or noise. And I really believe that you guys should take it as such. Don't take it to the bank. Remember what happened. Remember, everyone should learn their lesson from what happened last cycle. Everyone was calling for 100K Bitcoin. I got caught. I never said it on Simply, but I mentally got caught up in that as well. I was mentally preparing for that 100K Bitcoin and never hit that. And what happened? A lot of people's expectations were let down, man. So I think it's important, you know, to heed Matt O'Dell's advice. Stay humble, stack sats. We know this thing's meant to go up forever. It's literally Bitcoin's binary. It literally goes up forever. It goes to zero. And what you should be focusing on really every day is trying to grow your stack, right? Anyways, Opti, this is my two cents, man. I know some people are like, Nico's bearish, Nico's this. Guys.
Yeah, they said Nico hates Bitcoin in the chat.
I love Bitcoin. You guys know I love Bitcoin, but like, man, I think that's a lot of hopium from Kathy Wood. And we took a peek at her incentives, man. She's incentivized to say something like that because her ETF, of which she's responsible for, is getting absolutely hammered.
Beautiful. Well, first and foremost, Kathy Wood, hello.
Oh, man. Another one?
I'm just joking.
Opti's dated Yellen, Christy Lagarde. Now it's Kathy Wood.
Hey, this is the running joke here. But, man, when you paint that video alongside the ARK stock, like, man, it really does look like it's trading like a shitcoin. And, you know, like, dude, absolutely wreck. And like you said, man, this is definitely hopium. I'm as bull-tarded as everyone, but I don't know where the price is going to go, and nor does anyone else. Like, these are, you know, we can all say the price is going to go somewhere. But no one really knows. All we do know is 21 million hard cap, censorship resistant, FU money. Like, these are the things that we know. These are the certainty. The Bitcoin fundamentals is all we really know. And we know that number will go up, but do we know where it will go up to? No one has any idea of this. We are all just bullish on Bitcoin. So all these price predictions, again, like Nico said, it's all hopium. It's definitely like good headlines so that people can continue to catch the FOMO. But like you said, I was going to say the same thing. Like, remember 100K price predictions and how everyone got wrecked, guys? Like, this is the same kind of scenario right here. It's like, it looks good on paper. It sounds good. It's definitely something that we can, you know, I'm sure people are going to talk about this on Thanksgiving, around the Thanksgiving dinner table, and be like, oh, you know, Kathy Wood said $1 million Bitcoin in 2030. And so, like, it's a good headline read. But again, guys, no one knows where the Bitcoin price is going to go. The only thing we do know is a 21 million hard cap. Verify it with your own node, and everything else is fundamentally noise. Just continue to stack sats and provide value and get more fiat, get more skills. And in time, I'm sure if it does hit, you know, that price point at 2030, I'm sure we will all be happy. But there's no way you can predict it, bro.
It's not about if, it's about when, right? Exactly. It's really about when. And I think putting time, remember, bro, Plan B built an entire following on this bullshit model that got debunked.
Wait, did the model break yet?
Shout out Corey, because Corey called that shit. We sided with him on Simply Bitcoin a long time ago when Phil was still with the show. And we didn't even tag Plan B or anything on Twitter, and Plan B just automatically blocked us. Like, you know, I mean, he must have heard it through the grapevine, but it looks like we were right. And this is why we don't like to speculate on Simply. We like to focus on the signal. The signal is Bitcoin, right? Use it as savings, because that's really what it is. Anyways, I want to talk about incentives and the old age lesson, right? Don't pay attention to what they say, pay attention to what they do. And of course, Elizabeth Warren used the opportunity of FTX collapsing to attack Bitcoin. She's been doing this for a very long time. She released this May 5th, 2022. She says, Warren questions fidelity on plans to allow Bitcoin investments for 401k plans, right? That was May 5th, 2022. This is November 22nd, 2022. She came out with an article and an opinion piece on the Wall Street Journal, regulate crypto or it'll take down the economy, right? So I want to read you a couple of passages. I can't read you the whole thing. We don't have enough time, but she goes on to say, crypto has created new opportunities for money laundering, terrorists, drug dealers, ransomware criminals, tax cheats, and outlaw nations can't hide their illegal activities by trading billions of cryptocurrencies with complete anonymity. The U.S., along with other nations, require banks to comply with the KYC rules and track large transfers of money to prevent money laundering. This requirement extends to all financial transactions, including dealings with stockbrokers, purchases on credit cards, transfers on Venmo, Western Union to send money to relatives in other countries. When banks violate the rules, they deserve sanctions. Here it is again, this idea that we were talking about, we were riffing on yesterday. She fundamentally believes, and a lot of people in DC believe, that they have the power and the right to get to pick and choose who is entitled to use money and who is not entitled to use money, right? And what's never mentioned about are the victims of sanctions that are completely innocent, right? You talk about, you know, how when the United States pulled out of Afghanistan, a lot of Afghanis were cut off from the global financial system. And the only thing that was left working was Bitcoin. Also, the example of Lebanon, right? When, you know, the Lebanese banks shut down and they weren't allowing people to withdraw, people still had the ability to earn in Bitcoin, receive Bitcoin from overseas. But if she got her way and the sanction system was imposed on top of Bitcoin, even though I don't see how that's possible, right? It would just be an extension of the current exclusionary system that we have today, right? Anyways, goes on to say, finally, crypto mining firms polluting and straining power grids should be required to disclose their emissions and energy consumption to the public. And of course, that just leads where they want to go with this is ban it, all right. And just look at already, it already happened in New York State, right? They signed, Hochul, the newly elected governor, waited for after the midterm election to sign the 2-year moratorium on basically banning proof of work mining in New York State, right? The Energy Department has the tools to require these disclosures, but it's unwilling to use them. Congress should step in. She goes on to say, many say crypto's a scam. Crypto advocates tout the technology transforming potential and argue that the naysayers just don't understand. Either way, it is past time for crypto to be subject to the same basic rules as other financial activities. If the crypto industry can succeed without stealing from investors or providing money laundering services to terrorists and drug dealers, that's great. But we won't know that until the loopholes are closed and the laws are rigorously enforced. So, okay. And we were talking about framing, right? And I want you guys to pay attention, or I want you guys to remember that video that we played you in the beginning about how Canadian society was going cashless. Right now, what she's moving the goalposts. We want the same regulations that we want for the existing financial system. And I completely agree with the fact that she believes that crypto is a scam. Crypto is a scam, but she's using, right, the total blowups in crypto and FTX and whatever as an excuse to go after Bitcoin. This is an opportunist. This is an opportunity. And why do I believe I'm saying, like, why do I believe this? What I'm trying to tell you guys, because if you actually look at some of her press releases, right, she goes on to say, we write to inquire about the appropriateness of your company's decision to add Bitcoin to 401k investment plan menu, actions you will take to address, quote, the significant risks of fraud, theft, and loss posed by these assets. And what Elizabeth Warren was referring to was Fidelity's plans to allow Bitcoin investments by 401k plans, right? The problem is, though, right, is that if you properly self-custody your Bitcoin, you properly store your Bitcoin, you're not at risk of theft or loss. In fact, it's actually you're less at risk than if you keep your money in a bank. You're even less at risk keeping your money in Bitcoin than keeping your money in fiat, which is designed to lose value. Why is that never talked about? Here's the US inflation rate of last year. The last 12 months, the inflation rate has been around 7.7%. And we know the CPI is constantly manipulated to make it more favorable, right? And it's really interesting because Greenpeace, right? For some reason, Greenpeace is attacking Fidelity too. Right? It's very interesting. So Greenpeace, Elizabeth Warren are saying the same thing. Says Fidelity Investment has promoted business and Bitcoin for years and is planning to widely offer Bitcoin as an option in its 401k funds this year. To date, Fidelity has ignored Bitcoin's growing climate footprint, and it's time for us to tell Fidelity our planet can't afford an early retirement. Now, what's interesting, right, is why is Elizabeth Warren and why is Fidelity, as why is Greenpeace both focusing on Fidelity in particular, right? So we know that she used this opportunity to release a Wall Street Journal piece. We know that this last part is BS because clearly if you actually look at the facts of saving in Bitcoin, right, it's clearly a lot more favorable than fiat money. And I'll get to the receipts of that in a second, but why are they all mentioning Fidelity? Well, it's simple, right? They don't want adoption, right? They don't want adoption because once you have adoption, it makes it incredibly difficult for them to stem the flow. And that's what this is about. That's why Greenpeace is going after Fidelity. That's why Elizabeth Warren is going after Fidelity. And this dumb motherfucker, SBF, blowing up and the whole crypto industry and all the scams in it, just give these people more ammunition. If it was just Bitcoin, they would need to defend their side just on arguments alone. And they can't do that. It's impossible. Because how do you justify the stealing of people's wealth through inflation, through debasement? Especially for the lower middle classes that are most affected by inflation, right? So Fidelity has 40 million customers. It has $9.9 trillion under management. So think about it. You want to know why they're attacking this so hard? They're trying to stop the adoption of Bitcoin because with the adoption of Bitcoin comes exposing their system. And I told you I'd get to the receipts, right? And Elizabeth Warren said, "Oh, there's threat of loss. There's threat of theft. There's threat of." She said all of those things, right? But if you actually look at what happens if you save in Bitcoin, which is what we advocate for on the show, not trading, not trying to speculate, or just saving in general, the fact is that if you save in Bitcoin, life gets cheaper in every regard. Right. These are the first five primary categories in Priced in Bitcoin, priceinbitcoin21.com. It's a great website. The United States dollar is 50% down towards Bitcoin over the last 5 years. Oil is 35% cheaper over the last 5 years. Gold, even gold, is 32% cheaper over the last 5 years. The S&P 500 is 24% cheaper over the last 5 years. And a medium new house, even with real estate increasing in prices over 100% over the last 2 years, even a brand new house is 32% cheaper than it would be 5 years ago. This is why they want to stem the flow. This is why. But this article from Elizabeth Warren is all words. Because the matter of fact, and to give her credit, she does mention the fact that, you know, FTF executives, including SBF, should belong in jail. But again, don't pay attention to what they say. Actually pay attention to what they do. The fact is that SBF is still roaming free. He's still in his $40 million penthouse in the Bahamas. Remember, they locked up Arthur Hayes because of the KYC stuff. They locked up the open source developer because he was developing privacy technology, right? They locked him up without bail. They arrested Arthur Hayes. They charged him with crimes, right? They want to maintain that control. But remember SBF, and we went it over in yesterday's episode, he was for more blacklisting. He was for more censorship of transactions. So we know he's for the establishment of B. And not only that, he donated to certain political parties, a certain political party that Elizabeth Warren happens to be a part of, right? This is an article from Axios. Bankman-Fried spent millions on Dem campaigns. And this is dated November 15, 2022. So two things, right? Donated to the right political party, number one. And number two, right? He didn't threaten the U.S. sanctions system, which gives the U.S. government tremendous amount of power, right? And what are the benefits of that? The benefits of that is that you're protected by the media, the legacy media, even after stealing billions of dollars from individuals, destroying people's lives. I've read horror stories of people losing their life savings, and is still roaming free. Not only is he still roaming free, he's protected by the media. Not only is he protected by the media, he just got asked to speak at an event, and we're going to get into the details of that. It says, this is a headline from the New York Times, inside Sam Bankman-Fried quest to win friends and influence people. Moving on. When Sam Bankman-Fried crypto empire went down in flames, so did his plans to save the world. What about the people he stole from? That's never mentioned, right? And then he tweeted this out November 23rd, yesterday. I'll be speaking with Andrew Ronkin at the Deal Book Summit next Wednesday, right? So how's this guy not in jail? And then you start to connect the dots, the right political contributions, right? The right, you know, status, the right outlook on U.S. sanctioned policy, right? And not to mention, you know, the going along with the popular cultural movement happening these days. I don't want to get into the details of that. So let's check this out. Let's check out the speaker list of this. And so we got Eric Adams, Ben Affleck, Sam Bankman-Fried, Gary Cardinal. We have Larry Fink. We have Reed Hastings. Larry Fink is the chairman of BlackRock. Reed Hastings is the founder of Netflix, right? You have Andy Jassy. He's the CEO of Amazon. You have Van Jones. You have President Mike Pence Vice President Mike Pence. You have Secretary Janet Yellen, part of the Treasury. So connect the dots, guys. Remember, SBF was for OFAC censorship. And then coincidentally, big coincidence, right? He happens to be invited to an event by the New York Times. And at that event, you also have Secretary Janet Yellen, head of the U.S. Treasury, speak at the same event. You also have, right, and remember the donations that SBF gave to Ukraine, right? You also have President Zelensky of Ukraine at that speaking event as well, okay? You want to know why he's not in jail? All you got to do is just open your eyes, okay? Now, the New York Times has a history of doing this. They've been doing this for a very long time, right? They've been giving platforms to, I don't know how else to say this, but people that went along with the party line. And not only have they been giving platforms to them, they've actually awarded these people Pulitzer Prizes, right? I'll go with the first example. This is Judith Miller. I'm sure a lot of you guys don't know who this is. Miller was the person responsible. She was working at the New York Times at the time, and she was responsible for selling the American public on the fact that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. And I'll read you a part of the Wikipedia article. It says, during Miller's tenure at the New York Times, she was a member of the team that won the Pulitzer Prize for explanatory reporting for its 2001 coverage of global terrorism before and after the September 11th attacks. And that coverage, right, led to the New York Times releasing multiple articles and multiple pieces on how Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, which gave the Bush administration the justification to invade the country in the first place. Iraq never had weapons of mass destruction. It was a lie. And this has been happening for a long time. I'll give you an example of Walter Duranty. In 1932, Duranty received a Pulitzer Prize for a series of reports about the Soviet Union, 11 of which were published in June 1931. He was later criticized for his subsequent denial of the widespread famine of 1930 and 1933 in the USSR. And when they say just widespread famine, they're saying it lightly. It was basically a Holocaust. They called it the Holodomor. And basically, it was the death, the on-purpose man-made death by Stalin to kill millions of Ukrainians by starving them, to basically force them into submission. And this guy covered it up. And it took until the 1990s for the New York Times to finally admit their mistake. So what you're seeing here is history repeating itself once again. SBF donated to the right political parties, and he had the good message, being in line with the party line. And this is some original thought that I had this morning. I said, the message is clear. As long as you donate to certain political parties and are pro-financial censorship, you will be protected by the system and the legacy media, even if you steal billions of dollars in plain sight. So this is what it's all about. SBF gets the special treatment. But anybody who's against privacy, anyone who's for privacy, anyone who's pro-freedom, anyone who speaks against the party line, they get prosecuted in a snap of a finger. But someone who's responsible for stealing billions of dollars, destroying the lives of individuals, is getting the elite treatment and gets to speak with some of the most powerful people in New York City without being in handcuffs. That's the world that we live in. That is what I talk about when I say the misalignment of incentives. As long as there's a few bureaucratic elites that get to create money for free that everyone else has to work for, this will keep happening. The incentives are not aligned. And this is why we are here. And the amount of corruption that's in broad daylight, they don't even hide it anymore. It's in your face because they're showing you that this isn't a system of equal justice. This is a system of hierarchy. You are here, and we are here, and we play by a whole separate set of rules, my friend. And you go along with us, you get those rules. You go against us, you get a different set of rules. And this is why we are here, and this is why something like Bitcoin is so important, and this is exactly why senators like Elizabeth Warren and like New York State, right, are attacking Bitcoin's proof of work, because we're Bitcoin's proof of work is what makes it uncorruptible. Only in Bitcoin is Michael Saylor, who holds hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin, and someone who holds 0.1 Bitcoin are equal in the eyes of the network. Michael Saylor has no more influence over the Bitcoin network than someone who's holding 0.1 or 0.01. And this is why they hate it. This is why they attack it. And don't pay attention to legacy media anymore. It's a scam. They've been doing this for a very long time. And now that we have the internet, we've disintermediated them. We could talk directly to each other. We can cover these important pieces. This isn't covered. They don't even talk about this stuff. In fact, they don't want you to talk about this stuff, which is why they had the meltdown that they did when Elon bought Twitter, right? And one of the tweets that Elon brought up, which is, this is going to empower citizen journalism. And what the credentialed class wanted is that they wanted that elite. They wanted that privilege. They're like, we are the New York Times. You must listen to us. You must take us, you know, you must take our word for it. And what the internet is doing is like, it doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't even need to know your name. There are Twitter accounts that have hundreds of thousands of followers, but people follow them, people engage with them, because it's not about the credentialism. It's not about who they are. It's about what value they provide. And clearly people, they want the truth. They don't want to be lied to. They don't want just to be spit in the face and say, you're not actually seeing that. And old decrepit institutions like the New York Times, that's exactly what they're doing, and they don't care. In fact, not only do they not care, they're telling you who's in charge and who's the boss here. Opti, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, go off, King. First and foremost, I love the dots that you connected. I don't know if I'm going to go back in time here, but, you know, I don't know if I starting with the Fidelity stuff where we started this whole rip from is outdated at this point. But I really love the Elizabeth Warren headline, you know, regulate crypto or it takes down the economy. It's just like the biggest lull ever. You know, the economy is tanking without shitcoins and Bitcoin is the exit door. And I really love how they, you know, they blame us for all their mistakes. And so, you know, thank you, Mama Warren. I feel so much safer knowing that everyone's favorite nanny is on the case and calling out all the nonsense. Obviously, I'm joking. Thank you, Greenpeace, as well, though. You guys are really protecting the planet. Shouts out to you guys. Obviously, it's a joke, guys. Remember who's backing all this XRP nonsense with Greenpeace. It's a shitcoin narrative. So obviously, you know, they're going to continue to spread that FUD. And I've said it before, you know, and I've said it very seriously, but also in jest. Like, half the time we don't even have to read this stuff from your favorite politician because we know where it's coming from. Yeah, there you go. Look, perfectly. Wow, perfect. It's for those guys in the spaces and on the audio. Greenpeace's budget is $10 million a year. Ripple funded them for literally half a year of operations. Of course, they are saying how high when they hear jump. Yes, this is literally what is going on. But again, back to all the FUD against Bitcoin. We don't even have to read this stuff because we already know where it's coming from, you know, like my volatility, my energy use, my money laundering, like it's all low hanging fruit. And we know exactly what their incentives are. They're bought and paid for. I don't know who Elizabeth Warren's sugar daddy is, but I'm sure he's paying well.
Exactly.
And then what you were talking about, the legacy media, man, like I absolutely love those dots that you connected. And it's absolutely amazing and astonishing to see legacy media basically continue to make SBF like a media darling. They have made their bed and now they're laying in it, and they have to continue to try to spin this story in such a way to make SBF look like he's not the biggest criminal that he is. So, like, it's absolutely amazing.
How is he not in jail? And we went over it. Why he's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Jail. But the fact, guys, that it's so blatant. And remember, guys, they've been doing this. I showed you guys the history of the New York Times, but also remember 2008? Literally, Bitcoin was born. No banker went to jail.
Exactly.
They've been doing this for a long time. This is not an equal system of justice. This is a hierarchy. And you're below them and above you. And this is just, and this latest example from the New York Times, and the fact that they don't care is because they're showing you who's really in charge and who really calls the shots. And it's absolute bullshit. And now that we have something like Bitcoin, just opt out. Remember, they need us in their system, but we don't need them. And that will be their undoing. They built themselves a golden cage, and now they can't get out of it. Anyways, let's get to the culture. I'm really excited. It is Thanksgiving, after all. I wonder what Opti has for us.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys. Also want to give a shout out to BitBlockBoom. It's a true Bitcoin conference network with fellow Bitcoiners in Austin, Texas, August 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, and 2023. This is not a shitcoin NFT or blockchain event. We talk about Bitcoin, and more Bitcoin. You can take advantage of the promo code SIMPLYBITCOIN to get a discount to your BitBlockBoom tickets. You definitely don't want to miss it.
All right, guys, we're going to keep this one short and sweet because it is Thanksgiving and you should be hanging out with your family instead of neglecting them and listening to us. But we appreciate it. And I'm just going to start with, guys, maybe today is a good day to reread the Bitcoin white paper. Be thankful for the gift that Satoshi gave us, which is Bitcoin. Go out there and spread the signal to all your family. Reread the white paper today to get you guys back on the signal, why we do what we do. But I know this Thanksgiving's a little different than last Thanksgiving. And shouts out to CK Snarks. He goes, last Thanksgiving, the Bitcoin price was 57K. Hope you are still stacking these cheap sats, guys. Yes, we were joking about it yesterday. We don't look like the geniuses that we were last year. But hey, nothing has fundamentally changed about Bitcoin. Bitcoin narrative, the Bitcoin fundamentals have never been stronger. And we are still at all-time high of block height, and the hash rate continues to go up. So continue to shill Bitcoin to your friends and your family at Thanksgiving dinner table or lunch table or whatever you're doing. But shouts out to Coinbits. They did this really great thread. I put it in the description so you guys can get fully, you know, orange-pilled ready. But they did 10 helpful tips to talk about at Thanksgiving dinner table. And it's just like, first and foremost, guys, remember how far you are ahead of everyone else. So you got to break it down a little bit, get back to basics. Don't go full Alex Jones, don't go full Nico Jones on them, but just meet them where they are. Focus on first principles. Yes, Bitcoin is volatile, but this is a feature, not a bug. There's no such thing as stability in the universe. You know, meet people where they are. We say this all the time, guys, bait the hook for the fish. And teach people why they should understand and love Bitcoin like we do. Yes, the FTX collapse is all in the news, but this is a great opportunity, as Coinbits says, to explain to them that that ain't Bitcoin, that there is Bitcoin and there is shitcoin. And, you know, just continue to get the first principles out there. Tell people to DCA. Tell people to not get over leveraged. Tell people to stay humble, stack sats. And we already covered, you know, the regulators trying to squash Bitcoin and all that good stuff, and how CBDCs are trying to control everything you do about them. This is the opportunity to continue to spread that signal out there to your friends and your family. Stay humble, stack sats. And as Bitstein said, be thankful for the get block subsidy for enforcing the issuance. Check proof of work for enforcing the difficulty. Get next work required for enforcing the difficulty adjustment. Guys, we have so much to be thankful right now. I say it all the time in spaces on this show. If I wasn't a Bitcoiner right now, I don't know how nihilistic I would be. It's absolutely an honor to be here with you guys on this Thanksgiving. I've never been more grateful to be a Bitcoiner, and I've never been more grateful to own Bitcoin, to be a part of this peaceful revolution. So guys, take a moment today to give thanks to Satoshi for giving us Bitcoin. Give thanks to all the friends that you've made along the way. Give thanks to the fact that you've become a better human because of Bitcoin. And like Hodl Tarantula said here, shouts out to you, my bro. He goes, Thanksgiving Day, and I'm thankful for amazing plebs and ability to have an all-meat diet, 2A, and building on Bitcoin. The corn runs 24/7, 365, helping humans. We gonna make it. Unlike time cartels, I mean banks. If no one told you today, let me thank you. You are loved, guys. Bitcoin is self-love. Make sure you spread this at your dinner table. Yes, right now, at this Thanksgiving, you might take some beatings. You know, your family might think you're crazy, but this is what it means to be a Bitcoiner. No one said it was going to be easy, but give thanks to Satoshi. Maybe read the white paper again today. Maybe, you know, stack some sats for yourself on this Thanksgiving. Continue to stay humble. Continue to upgrade your skills. Provide more value to your fellow man, because this is what it's all about. And if you're not in America, it's still a day where you can just be thankful for the fact that we have Bitcoin. Because it's Bitcoin or slavery, and we are opting out of this madness, and here we are today with the best money ever invented, and we can continue to stack sats at this cheap of value, and it's just a beautiful day to be a Bitcoiner, guys. I hope you guys get full on food. I hope you guys enjoy your friends and your family, and just be thankful and grateful that we have Bitcoin, guys. I know it's a little wholesome message today, a little different than usual. But I think it's very fitting for today and for what we do here, Nico. The people need Bitcoin and the people love Bitcoin. Bitcoin is self-love. Continue to stack sats. Continue to tell all your friends and loved ones to continue to buy Bitcoin, even if they think you're stupid right now. Anyways, Nico, jump in.
Yeah, man. This is one of those Thanksgivings where, you know, Bitcoin price is 80% from down 80%, 70 to 80% from all time high. You know, your uncles are just going to be giving you crap. You know, your mom's going to be like, are you okay? In the case of me and Opti, it's like, are you okay, mijo? Are you doing okay? You know, so yeah, man, but you're going to seem like a legend, right? This is my second cycle. So already, you know, in the case of my family, they're like, this guy's already right. Because I was telling my family buy Bitcoin was in like 500 to 1,000. So in 5 years, you know, you're going to be looking back 4 years, you know, really 2024, 2025. Historically, Bitcoin goes up about a year after the halving, which would be around 2025. You know, you're going to be having a Thanksgiving there, and your family members are going to be remembering when you told them what you were telling them when Bitcoin was sitting pretty at $16,587, right? So, you know, if this is your first rodeo, you know, we don't say you have to earn your price of tuition. You have to pay the price of tuition for no reason, right? You have to pay your dues. Everybody gets wrecked the first cycle. I've never met someone that, you know, I have met people that got very lucky and they got in like strange times, but the vast majority of people get in, you know, going up into the bull market. And that's just kind of like the sad reality of it. And yeah, I mean, you got to bunker down. If you feel insecure about your hodling, consume Bitcoin content, you know, learn more, read books. The Bitcoin Standard, the Fiat Standard by Saifedean, must reads. Sovereign Individual, must read. There's so many other good books, right, that I can't recommend enough. Just harden your beliefs. Remember why you're here, right? Remember our mission. The mission is to free mankind from the tyranny of central banking, from the tyranny of inflation, which is theft. And, you know, our end goal here, right, is the separation of money and state. And by separating money and state, just like the separation of church and state, right, and again, there's no perfect solutions. I'm sure that there's unforeseen things that we don't see, right? But you could make a really good argument that humanity did benefit from a more secular government, right? And I really strongly believe that humanity will benefit from the separation of money and state, because it can't be that the powerhouse of, or the, you know, the most powerful city in the United States is Washington, D.C., but it is not the most productive city. It's just a city full of bureaucrats, of politicians, of NGOs, of, you know, all these entrenched interests. But you see some of the wealthiest neighborhoods in Washington D.C. Why is that? It's not a productive city, right? That's a city with the closest proximity to the money printer, right? So everyone kind of, you know, like little like sharks circling water, man. So remember the mission, bunker down, don't scare your relatives too much. Just tell them, stay humble, stack sats, you know, sign up for Swan Bitcoin, start a dollar cost averaging, you know, like a program, right? Teach them how to take self-custody, you know, teach them how to take ownership of their own keys. You know, if they get lucky, something like what happened with my mom, right? Which is like, she's been stacking, she's been a hardcore Bitcoiner, but she's like, Nico, I don't even know how to use this thing, right? And that's kind of like stopped her from trading, right? So, you know, be that Uncle Jim for your family if they need it. Show them the benefits of a deflationary lifestyle, of a deflationary currency, you know. And but the reality is, guys, you know, if this is your first time, you're paying your dues. In fact, anybody getting into Bitcoin, the first year sucks, second year sucks, third year gets a little bit better, fourth year you're like, okay, maybe that was a good idea. By the time the seventh, eighth year comes around, which is two cycles, you're like, okay, that was a really, really good decision, right? So yeah, I'm very thankful to Satoshi, I'm very thankful for Opti, and I'm very thankful for all the other Bitcoiners that made this possible. And for, I'm going to give a shout out to the person who actually did orange pill me. Shout out to Andreas Antonopoulos, man. His lectures literally changed my life, and I'll forever be grateful for that. Anyways,
Nico, before you go, I'm going to double down. Guys, make a scene at your Thanksgiving dinner so they remember this moment when they don't stack Bitcoin, and they will forever remember you as the legend that you are.
Exactly. Gobble, gobble. Happy Thanksgiving. Anyways, all right. Oh, no. Let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom. Boys and girls, this is the meme review. This one's going to be a little clunkier than usual because I really got to play Yellow's meme here. But before I go on, memes, the review score, drop it in the chat. Tweets are the bullets. Memes are the artillery. We are on the front lines. Continue to meme. Continue to spread that signal. Continue to get the calls of actions. And this first one, forgive me, Nico, we are playing videos today, but this one's just hilarious. Shouts out to you, Yellow. You guys know this ad. You guys all know the ad.
Hoddle to that feeling.
Definitely hoddle to the feeling. But here's Yellow's. He made me his muse. I am Yellow's muse right now. And he goes, it all makes sense now. So you guys know the ad.
Brought to you by BitBox 2 Bitcoin Only Edition, a hardware wallet by Shift Crypto.
Apparently, I am a beat maxi.
It's secure. It's open source. And it's so easy. Your mom can set it up.
Oh, my God. Shouts out to you, Yellow. That is too funny. Makes it I am a Bitcoin maxi. I love beats. Anyways, let me get into the rest of these memes. Yellow, amazing, amazing. Absolutely love it. Continue to troll me, guys. I can take it. It's fun. All right, this next one is by BTC Mando. And the first ones might even be a meme. It is a meme itself. Shouts out to Bitcoin is Saving. And he goes, Krugman, everything about cryptocurrency is fraudulent. They are not real currencies. The industry is one big Ponzi scheme. The selective outrage over FTX collapse is misplaced. SBF took money from fraudsters and donated it to good causes. There's nothing wrong with that.
Craig is a potato.
That was, I'm pretty sure,
no.
Bitcoin is Saving. Trolling Krugman, but the meme is this Sam Bankman fraud
Malaka.
Picture. Yeah, just play Malaka again.
Malaka.
You can see in his nasty hair, he's got Sam Bankman fraud, millions of money to Biden campaign, billions to Ukraine, billions to money launder, millions to Democrats, millions anti-Trump bet, billions to Alameda. And we got Caroline, blame yourself, FTX money sewer. And we got Biden getting pulled in with the rats and the World Economic Forum and Zelensky. Absolutely love this guy. It's a pretty savage meme. Anyways, this next one, guys. I know we don't like to speculate, but I really like this, the Bitcoin spiral four-year cycle. It's telling you where we are in this cycle, Bitcoin spiral four-year cycle. And you can see where we are. You know, you can get your head back in the game if you are feeling down and out this Thanksgiving. It's just all part of the game. It's all part of being a Bitcoiner. It's in the description if you want to look at this more. Again, I know people are hurting out there. Again, we don't like to speculate on this show, but shouts out to Riggs BTC. And he goes, all three Bitcoin halving cycles have bottomed in almost the exact same block and multiple in each epoch. Amazing. Bitcoin is programmed. Remember this. And here's a chart from Charts BTC. And hey, it's almost like we are just right on time. And let's see. I know everyone out there on Bitcoin Twitter land is saying we haven't bottomed yet. I know the prophecy of December 23rd from Yellow. But hey, man, it looks like we are almost out of Goblin Town. Anyways, this last one, memeing Bitcoin. Right now, maybe this isn't the best meme because we are all broker out there in relative terms to the fiat price. But anyways, here's the ladder, and everyone's trying to escape the rat race through stocks and real estate and gold and bonds. And us Bitcoiners are just floating to the top with our orange Bitcoin balloons. Guys, this is the way. Stack them sats now, and you will be looked on forever as the genius that you are. Anyways. Yellow, what is your meme review score?
Greg is a potato.
All right. I am continuing to double down on the Pacific Bitcoin trading cards. Uh-oh. And we got this one. Can you read that? The marshmallow experiment. You guys know what the marshmallow test is. Play the marshmallow test with your nieces and nephews at Thanksgiving and prepare them to be hodlers.
I want to apologize, Greg. Greg. Yellow hijacked the stream. I don't know how he does these things. So it's just absolute bullshit.
Malaka.
God damn it. God damn it, Yellow. Anyways, I'm going to give it this hacky sack. Or maybe it's a stress ball. I don't know which one it is, but that's my score. Wow. Anyways, guys, we want to know what your meme score is. Hippie
confirmed.
We want to know what your scores are. Please drop them in the live chat. This is Simply Bitcoin Live.
We got a few already.
All right. Yellow, God damn it. How does he do all these things? Yellow says, Yellow gives this meme some all organic beet juice.
Delicious.
Oh, man. Okay. Opti's neglected closet of floor chalk.
Floor cock. Score, clock.
Thankful for the cock so strong it holds the floor for real this time.
The floor is set. Floor is set. Cock the floor. All right.
Are we out of time? Oh, meme by Bitcoin Becca. My meme score is tomorrow's leftover turkey sandwich. All right, we are out of time. All right, guys, also make sure to subscribe to Simply Bitcoin Telegram group. That's where you could link us Bitcoin memes to review so we can review them on the show. You could also tag us on Twitter. You got to go to www.t.me/the Simply Bitcoin channel. Also check out Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. Go to www.simplybitcoin.news. The written version of the show dropping the sauce. Shout out to our awesome writers.
Dropping bombs.
Ross, Winekiss, Rustin, Paul, Zach. Always dropping the sauce. Anyways, Opti, do we have a software release or
website? I got a website by Plebs.
Let's check it out.
Plebsites.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel, and there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
All right, everybody. There we go.
Okay. All right, guys. We went too long today. My camera died on me. But feature, not a bug. Anyways, today's website is BitcoinBlackFriday.org. I know you guys don't buy anything ever, but hey, if you are looking to buy some Bitcoin stuff, there's a bunch of Black Friday sales, not only from our sponsor Bitbox, but there's a whole bunch of stuff over here. If you are looking to get some goodies, get on it. Because now is the time to buy everything you've wanted, and it's all on sale. This is the only time of the year that Bitcoin merch, Bitcoin products go on sale. So I know we're all broke right now relative to the fiat price. But hey, if you want some things, they're on sale over at BitcoinBlackFriday.org, guys. So check it out. Go browse around, and maybe you can get yourself some new Bitcoin products out there.
Absolutely. I also want to give a very special shout out to our awesome clothing sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. They make some of the most comfortable, stylish clothing in the game. It's comfy, it's stylish. Opti's wearing the decentralized corpse and then corp, and then I'm wearing the Simply Bitcoin merch. It just dropped. It's limited edition. There's only so much that's going to be made. You can take advantage of the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get yourself a major discount on anything on the RepresentLTD.com. Check out the Simply Bitcoin merch, guys. It just dropped. They're limited. There's a cap supply, just like Bitcoin's 21 million. Anyways, guys, also check out the audio version of this show. You can subscribe to us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Fountain. We appreciate all the people streaming us sat on Fountain. We love you all. Really appreciate it. We're going to take tomorrow off because it is a holiday, but we will be back tomorrow actually with a podcast with the awesome Bitcoiner Beauty on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll be back on Monday of next week for the regular show, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm hyped for it. Can't wait for this Thanksgiving tonight. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to stuff myself. I wish you guys all the best Thanksgiving. Enjoy time with your family. Family is everything. We love you all, and we will see you on Monday for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. And before that, if you still want some sauce, check out tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to do a Simply Bitcoin IRL with Beauty on. Don't forget to hit that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. And the number one thing you could do to push this peaceful revolution is share this video. Catch you guys all on Monday. See you guys later.
Gobble, gobble.